Hello everybody and welcome to the Sports for Champions podcast. We've got another exciting episode here for you. Today I'm joined by Becky, Team GB, freestyle kayaker and the newest member of the Sports for Champions team. How are you, Becky?
I'm good, thank you.
Fantastic to have you here. And so if we could start, please, how did you get into freestyle kayaking?
So it was around 8 years ago. I live fairly local to Lee Valley Whitewater Centre. So I used to cycle around the course while it was being built. And one day my mum kind of like, she pushed me towards a guy and she was like, go ask, get involved. So I went over and I found out later that it was Joe Clark, one of the Olympic athletes. But yeah, so I asked him how to get involved and he recommended joining a club on the Wednesday night. So I went down and every week just started doing slalom, but then the coaches left and it all got a bit complicated. So I went into rafting, which is the team sport, and then I found a coach to start freestyle. So it was a bit of a bumpy journey over quite a few years, but yeah, so now I'm 8 years in. So.
And I believe that's where the London 2012 events took place, and you used to cycle around there as it was being built.
Yeah. So the 2012 Olympics were held at the centre, which is, it's an artificial whitewater course, so it's really clean water, unlike most places that we train now, which are really gross. You can get ill from it, but yeah, so it's chlorinated water, and it's quite inspiring because obviously that's where all the slalom athletes train, so you see the Olympians on like a daily basis, and yeah, it's quite a cool centre.
So the water that you're training in at the moment, presumably that's just everyday river water?
Yeah, so when I come up to Nottingham to paddle the course and do selections, that's where most competitions are. That is the River Trent, so that is pretty manky. Lots of other competitions are on the Thames as well, so it was all, yeah, rivers, whereas Lee Valley were a bit spoiled with the, you can literally see the bottom, which is quite cool.
So I'm guessing there's days where you can't train at all due to the pollution levels?
Yeah, so quite often, I've been quite unfortunate. Most times when I get up to Nottingham, it's during the holidays, and over Christmas it just rains too much, so the levels go too high. If it gets above 2.2, you can't really paddle because the course just flushes through. So yeah, there's lots of natural areas where you have to stop. So yeah, the quality as well. There was a few weeks ago they had to close the course because people were getting really sick from it. So yeah, you, lots of the time you'll go training and then you'll come back and you'll be throwing up for a few days, and it's just, yeah, it's worth it. I always make sure it's worth it, but it is one of the detriments.
So you've been kayaking now for 8 years?
So I started when I was 10 and I'm now 18, so 8 years.
So tell us a little bit about your progression from obviously starting out to now being one of the biggest up and coming stars in freestyle kayaking.
It's been quite a long process and a difficult one, I think, definitely. When I first started out, it was so hard to like actually find a coach to take me on the white water. Lots of the other girls that I was with wanted to just play around and be on the flat, which was definitely fun. But come winter, they just left. So I wanted to get out on the real white water and experience, white water kayaking compared to just recreational. I found a coach who volunteered for the club, and he taught me how to roll, and that was like the biggest step. Like, once you learn to roll, you can go down white water and you don't have to swim, which is a long process. Since learning to roll, then moves kind of came. I started spending more time in specific features, got a freestyle boat, a play boat, which I was able to throw around a lot easier, and then it was just Wednesday nights. When I was 16, I got a job at the centre, and then regularly training about 5 days a week, and that's when I first started, you know, going for selections and actually competing.
Have you always been particularly athletic?
So I was in the Brownies and I wanted to do my sports badge, so I started park runs. So I first started doing like athletic based things used to do in parkrun, and then I loved netball, so I was always on the netball team. Ran 5Ks regularly with parkrun, and then did district sports with the school, and that was like the main sport. And then when I found kayaking, I was still a girl guide, so we did a lot of other outdoor like pursuits kind of activities. And then recently I've started like bouldering and climbing, and that's quite fun as well.
And when did you realise that you had a particular talent for this kind of thing?
I think it was probably when all the girls left that I used to train with. Like there was a group of about six of us, and we used to regularly go and paddle. And I realised that when they had like absolutely no inclination to progress, and they didn't want to go under the water, and I wanted to learn to roll, and I really noticed that there was a difference, I think. When they left and I was still going throughout the winter, I was like, I don't think it was necessarily a natural talent. I think you do have to learn, and you have to keep going. But I think that came from the persistence of just regularly going back and going, I want to learn. That's when I realised, yeah.
And how was the first time being fully submerged? It must be a really strange feeling.
Oh, it's so disorientating. Yeah, I wear a nose clip, and it was like, yeah, it was terrifying. You have like experiences as well. I remember one where I was in a boat that was far too big for me, and I went under, and I couldn't reach the front of my spray deck to pull it off, and I couldn't roll back up again, and I was like stuck, and there was a coach around, but he wasn't helping me, and I remember just being terrified. But I did like eventually find my kicked enough to find my way out of the boat. But yeah, the hardest thing is when you have experiences like that, you have to realize, okay, that was like a one-off. What can I learn from that? How can I progress? Because otherwise you're just going to be put off the sport forever. But yeah.
And I imagine it's quite difficult to stay calm in those moments and to manage your breathing. How do you find that?
Yeah, definitely. Keeping calm and just slowing your breathing down. Obviously not breathing underwater, but just realising, okay, hang on. Because you think you're under there for a lot longer than you actually are. It took watching some videos of me going under that I realised, oh, actually, I've got a lot of time. A good practice was just going under when you know that you can come back up again, and just waiting and just going, oh, look around and see where you are underwater, and then just relaxing. And it's getting used to that environment and being with someone that you trust as well. I wouldn't go out there alone. So it's being in that trusting environment is quite key as well.
And what has been the steepest learning curve for you?
Competing, I think, definitely. I used to just do it for fun, and I'd do it with like friends, and I'd just push myself because I wanted to push myself. And then the steepest learning curve was going to my first selections, which is funny. I scored 0 points in every single competition, and it's one of those things like, okay, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. And it was coming back from that completely disheartened, absolutely thinking, oh, maybe I should never compete again. I do it for fun. And then came back the next time and made the team.
So obviously you scored 0, and then you came straight back and made the team. How was that?
That was selections. I also did other minor competitions. So you've got did a few at Lee Valley that were just club run based ones, and there's a club championships that we all compete as a club, and it's a bit nicer because you know that whatever you do counts. I remember swimming and it still counted, and there's like inflatable races, so there's a lot of fun behind freestyle that's not just the competitive side, and that's really what's quite key in the sport. I remember I won like the novice category, and I literally swam. And I remember we didn't even bother going to the prize giving because I was like, no, I didn't get anything. And then someone came back and gave me a silver medal, and I was like, oh, that's great. Then the next year I got gold for novice, and then was told that I couldn't compete in novice again.
So I was going to ask when you first realised you were going to take it professional, but I guess that was the moment.
When I got a loop, which is the front flip rotation of freestyle kayaking, when I got that, I was paddling regularly with Otty and a few of the other guys at Lee Valley, and they kind of said, oh, you should just go for selections. So that's when I kind of thought, oh, I could do that, I guess. So I was a junior girl, and it was quite a I could just do it. And I like having something that I can set a goal and work towards, even if it's just a personal development. So even from scoring 0 in my first selections to scoring like 300 points in my second, being able to not compare myself to other people's scores and go, look at that progression that I've made, look at the scores that I've scored.
that's a really good mindset to have. And obviously you started very early. Are you still in school at the moment or some form of school?
Yeah, I'm in my last year of A-levels, so got them coming up this summer.
And how do you find balancing that and being out on the water?
It's a lot. My teacher did tell me the other day that I need to kayak less, and I looked at her like, what? That's a thing? Yeah, it's definitely a balance of mixing up your what your priorities are. And I've got my eyes set on the worlds. Obviously, I do have to get these A-level grades so I can then go to university. So it is. It all comes into play. It's about using my time effectively, I think. Like listening to podcasts on my way to training, in between breaks at training, just picking up a book and getting some revision done. It is definitely difficult, but I think at the end of it, it will be worth it. So.
And how often are you training at the moment?
At the moment, I'm making sure I'm going up to Nottingham a couple of times a month. And that's, you know, like proper training. They've got GB training weekends that are compulsory to attend as well. And those are coming up this month and next month as well. I train at Lee Valley. So on a Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday mornings, and then occasionally on a Sunday afternoon as well. That's on the water training. The centre's closed on a Monday, Tuesday, so that's then I do like off the training, strength, off the water, strength training, mobility, that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. And in terms of living a healthy lifestyle, are you always eating healthily?
I would say always. I try. Obviously, you'll have days when you're just freezing cold, you get off the water, you're just hungry and you just want to eat a slice of cake or something. Like it's definitely difficult. Being in A-levels and wanting to go out with friends, everyone's turning 18, there's lots of parties. It's quite difficult to maintain a fully healthy lifestyle. But I think making sure you balance it with the right amount of training, and obviously there's no weight categories in freestyle, so but you want to make sure you're the right weight for your boat. You want to be able to throw it around effectively, so that's definitely something to keep in mind. Yeah.
And do you have a healthy go-to sort of post-training meal?
Healthy one. On a Wednesday night we do go for a social meetup at McDonald's, but the McPlant is healthy, by the way. It's what I've heard. A go-to after training would probably be my mum makes quite a good healthy curry, so when I come back from training there's sometimes days, or I just make my own. Yeah, that's a go-to.
And then do you have a favourite cheat meal?
There's a right by Lee Valley, there's a new burger place that's opened up. They do really good burgers and fries. Yeah, it's probably my go-to. Awesome. My dad's American, so I get that like American needs to be, you know, tasty kind of thing. Yeah.
So you obviously have to be quite careful about what you eat. Would you say that the life of a professional athlete is tough compared to maybe other professions?
Yes, I think so. It's more, I don't know, everyone has their own balances. I think as a professional athlete, you've got a mixture of there's a psychology behind it as well as the physical side. But in other professional areas of work, it's all skills. I wouldn't undermine anyone's work. If someone sets their heart and their mind and they want to work towards something, whether that's in sport, whether that's outside of sport, it's all about how you manage it and how you work towards it and that progress. Being an athlete, it's definitely physically draining. You're always under this, you're under this constant pressure, and I think there's definitely that outside looking in, you have to fit this athlete description, whereas a professional in other areas they might have less pressure, but it's all about that personal, how you take it personally. And if someone can manage the pressure and the stress and then develop it in a certain way, I think it all balances out.
A lot of being an athlete seems to be about having that elite sporting mindset. Do you have a hero in sport?
I'd probably say Ossie, to be fair. She's like one of my best friends, but at the same time she is breaking these boundaries for women. She's like creating scores in freestyle that are rivaling that of men. And I think that's definitely something that's super inspiring. Having trained with her, like every time I train with her, I'm even like looking in awe, like, what on earth? How does she pull that out? And she's also so humble about it as well. I think just her as a person, she's absolutely, as a woman and as a freestyle athlete, she's super inspiring. Her whole life is dedicated around this sport, and that's definitely something to look up to. Otherwise, you've got like the top people like Dane Jackson and Bren Orton, and you watch them running rivers and you're like, oh, that's super cool. But I don't think I can relate to them so much on the level that with Ottie, and that's what makes her more of a, she's more, such an inspiration and that role model, definitely.
So you practice with Ottie quite a lot. Do you have much fun in those sessions, or are they mainly intense?
It's just a funny one. We can't hear on the water, so we have to wear earplugs. So you kind of have to shout at each other. So it makes it quite difficult. But that kind of creates laughter in itself. She really pushes you, definitely. When I'm on the water with her, there's this constant pressure. You bounce off each other, and that's what's so nice about paddling with other people, because they'll do something and you're like, oh, I want to give that a go, so you go in and you try it, and then if it goes wrong, we just laugh. It's quite light-hearted. Definitely I miss the days. She used to come to Lee Valley every week before she started living up at Nottingham, and it was really helpful for me to see someone who was way, way better that I could work towards. At the moment, being at Lee Valley is there's not many of us training there, so I don't really have someone to show me how to do things. You kind of have to figure it out on your own, which is a progress step in itself, and it's quite nice because I can get into coaching other people. But yeah, going up to Nottingham, I really enjoy it. That's probably one of my favourite parts.
And do you have a favourite sporting quote?
I think it's not necessarily sporting, but just in general, like, become and work towards who you want to be. I think it's so easy just to compare yourself to others in competition. You see someone scoring and then you go, oh, I wish the other person doesn't get this move so I win. And it's like, no, you want to score all the moves that you can do, and you want them to score the moves they can do, because at the end of the day, it's about good sportsmanship. If you've worked towards it in the run up to competition, then you know you're going to deserve it. You can't really rely on what happens on the day. On the day, it's all what happens in 45 seconds, and it's all on the table. And that's a lot of pressure. So you have to be, the best athlete you can be leading up to that, and be who you want to be, like get the score that you want to get. Just having that constant mindset, that 1% every day, work towards it. Don't compare yourself. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about competition there. How would you go about calming those pre-event nerves?
Music, definitely a key one. I've got like a constant playlist going through my head, or just putting headphones in and just getting in that zone. I like to go through, I guess it's catters, isn't it? Like just running through the moves that you're going to do off the water, just going, right, this is going to be my ride. It doesn't normally go like that, but at least that gets you into the mindset of getting kind of like hyped for competition. I always find that I have to hype myself up a bit. When I'm on the water and you've got that massive crowd of people, you have to kind of go, right, I'm going to do it, and then just go for it. And explosive power is definitely quite key.
So you prefer music that kind of hypes you up as opposed to calming, soothing?
Yeah. Something with a beat, definitely. I know some people prefer, I like throwback songs, you know, like Disney ones or that kind of thing. Some people prefer calming, but I think that just kind of makes you feel a bit more, it gives you more time to think, and that just stresses you a bit more. You don't want to think, you just want to go for it, I think. Kind of key.
And is there something that you do after a good performance?
Call my mum. I'm like, mum, guess what happened? Definitely my go-to. I think that's probably my go-to, yeah.
So you said you're inspired a lot by Ottie. Is there anyone perhaps in your life that inspired you to get into sport in the first place?
Probably my granddad. He was an outdoor pursuits instructor, and he used to take us kayaking, just on like recreational stuff. We found an ancient kayak in my great granddad's shed, and he was like, right, get in it. And I was like, are you sure? This might not float. But just absolutely been, he was my like biggest supporter and everything. He took me to a few kayaking competitions, and he had motor neuron disease as well. So he couldn't, this was after his career in pursuits, but he couldn't walk properly, had two walking sticks, and was hiking up this little hill to see me compete at Nottingham. And it was just like, yeah, his constant giving me books that were falling apart, all about routes for climbing and all about these ancient carabiners. I wouldn't use it, but it's just, you know, that lovely idea. He was definitely biggest fan.
That's really nice. It's good to have somebody, I guess, supporting you from such an early age, and then I guess that encourages you throughout your career. Is there anything in particular that you've given up to pursue the sport in the way you have?
I like being able to do everything, I think. That having that, right, that we get everything done. But yeah, I have had to make a few sacrifices. I used to do a lot more with music, so it was really key in like the performing arts department and stuff, and I still do a bit of singing, but I did have to sacrifice a lot of that, wanting to perform and do more musical stuff. I had to make the decision, actually kayaking's where I want to go. The same with, I was a police cadet as well, and that was like taking up more of my nights, and I was like, I need to drop this because I'm spending all my time kayaking. Yeah.
Cool. And do you have any advice to young people who want to start a career in sports?
Keep at it. I think that's probably a basic one, but it's definitely key. Just go for it. There's no, I was saying before about natural talent. Although you can have natural, there's a lot of natural ability, but I think at the end of the day, it's about investing time into it and practicing again and again. If you've got a phobia of going underwater, you know what you've got to do. Learn how to go underwater. Keep at it. When other people are giving up, just find a way around it. Make these sacrifices that you're going to make. If that's where your goal is, put a picture on your wall and I had a post-it note counting down the days to Worlds. That's what your mindset's going to have to be, and you just have to look at it every day and go, right, this is my motivation. Find something that motivates you and just keep at it.
Awesome. So you mentioned Worlds there. Obviously, that's the big focal point that's coming up at the moment.
Yes.
How's your preparations going?
Yeah, good. I mean, official training for Worlds starts the day after my last A-level exam. So, my preparation is definitely in multiple places at once because I want to get my exams done. But yeah, we've got training weekends, so making sure that I get all my revision done before I go away to then spend this time training. Putting together rides, getting moves consistent as well. So making sure that I can get like the loop, the space, the McNasty, and get it all in like a run. Also because it's in a C1 boat, so I haven't been doing C1 that long, so making sure that my boat is outfitted and my paddle is cut to the right length. There's a lot of like that technical side before you then even get on the water.
So what's C1?
So C1 is canoe for one person. You kind of call it K1 and C1. There's lots of different categories, but C1 is where you kneel. It looks the exact same. If you see someone in a C1 boat and a K1 boat, they look very, very similar. It's all what happens on the inside. So when you're in a K1, you're sitting. When you're in a C1, you're kneeling with a one-sided paddle. I found when I first started C1, I kept putting the blade in, there's not a blade there, and you're like, oh, how do you even paddle this? It's definitely a lot harder and a bit more painful on your legs, but yeah.
Mm. And what would constitute a good performance at the Worlds?
Getting the moves, scoring the moves that I want to, that I know I can do, I think, definitely. I always dream about pulling off these moves that I've never even tried before, and I'm like, right, take yourself back to reality. What am I actually going to score? I just want to get a loop, a McNasty, and a space, and get that in the 45 seconds, and twice over, get to the finals would be my idea. We'll see what happens.
That's awesome. And it's looking to be the biggest Worlds yet. Where do you see the future of freestyle kayaking?
I want to get it into the younger generations. I think it's so, like, it's such a fun sport, and every time I show people, like, this is what I do, they're like, whoa, that's so cool. So I feel like when I want to build awareness, I know there's been talk about it becoming an Olympic sport, but I feel like that will change. Although I'd love the publicity of an Olympic sport, that is very much it's very competitive, and freestyle is quite fun. It's something that you all cheer each other on, and everyone wants everyone to do well. And I see that very much at Lee Valley, and we're starting coaching groups and groups of people who are so interested. They've progressed on whitewater and they want to try something harder. So we're like, right, let's get in a playboat. And I find that a lot. So I'd love it to just grow publicity. I want children to be inspired by these, like, big athletes who are in freestyle kayaking. That's so cool. It, like, is pretty cool. Yeah.
So we like to end these by asking, do you have a favourite mantra or a phrase that you might repeat to yourself?
What do I repeat to myself? More like, right, let's do it. I think it's kind of super short, but you know when you just have to, when your thoughts are in so many different places at once, whether that's, have I prepared for this? Am I super stressed? Do I need to write this exam paper that's due tomorrow? Like, your thoughts, naturally, they're going to be in 100%. You've got to bring them all back in, and I've got to go, right, let's do this, and then get it done.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we'll see you again soon for some more Sports for Champions fun. Hi guys, hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, be sure to leave us a like and a subscribe, and check out all our other videos for some more great interviews and content. Bye.